Live from WRAL News Headquarters in Raleigh, your number one source for local news. WRAL News, coverage you can count on.
Another deadly night in Durham. This time, two 16-year-old boys are dead. Another one is injured. We're live with the search for the shooter and how police located the boys who were shot.
And we have showers to our west beginning to move into the area. I'll let you know whether or not it will affect your evening commute.
And a travel nightmare for some Greyhound passengers stranded at the depot for hours. What the company blames for the delay.
Breaking news this noon, three 16-year-olds were shot in Durham. Two of them have died. And we've learned from the family of one of the teens killed, Angel Canales. You see him pictured here behind us. Good afternoon to you. I'm Jeff Hogan.
And I'm Renee Chu. Thanks for joining us. This marks 14 homicides in the city this year. WRAL's Durham reporter Sarah Kruger is live where the teens were shot on Hudson Avenue in North Durham. Sarah.
And Renee, officers are still out here. Mobile command is set up as well. Clearly, they are intending to be out here for quite some time. I spoke with family members out here who told me Angel Canales was a student at Riverside High School here in Durham. He had gone out last night, they say, with a couple friends. A lot of his family was out here this morning, very emotional. Police say the shooting actually happened last night around 10:30. One of the three victims was able to make it to his parents for help, who took him to the hospital, and he's the one who alerted authorities that there were two more victims. It took hours of searching by drone, canine, and on foot for officers to find those two other teens this morning dead.
Because you're 16, man, you don't really even have a chance to do nothing. And, I mean, I don't want to say this area's always been rough, but, like, definitely didn't expect to see nothing like that or even hear nothing like that over here. So, yeah, it's kind of difficult to deal with, honestly.
And I'm working to learn the names of the other two 16-year-olds who were shot. Police have not released any of their names just yet. Police told me they do not have anyone in custody, and they are asking for the public's help that anyone with information call in tips. You can do so anonymously by calling Crime Stoppers. Now, we've been reporting for a while now about the disturbing trend of more and more young people being shot here in Durham. This makes at least 11 people under the age of 18 shot in Durham so far this year. Renee and Jeff.
That is incredibly sobering. Sarah Kruger, live in Durham.
If your morning commute takes you through Durham, there's a good reason why your drive took a little longer than usual today. Two crashes caused major backups this morning. Sky 5 flew over the scene of southbound NC 147 near Briggs Avenue this morning, where the crews were working to right an overturned vehicle. The crash caused heavy delays as drivers headed out of Durham downtown area through the Alston Avenue interchanges were slowed. No word on the cause, charges, or if anyone was injured. A second crash shut down southbound lanes of I-85, also causing heavy delays. Despite that crash being cleared, some drivers still encountered a 51-minute backup. At one point, the WRL traffic map showed heavy traffic from Falls Lake all the way to Club Boulevard. We're waiting to learn more about the cause of that crash as well.
Light showers are moving across the area right now. Rain isn't likely to be heavy today, but it will last through the afternoon in some parts of the viewing area. Meteorologist Elizabeth Gardner is in the WRAL Severe Weather Center to walk us through the timing of the rain on Futurecast.
So I have a disturbance. It's moving from Tennessee on into North Carolina. It's moving from west to east. We'll zoom in and take a look at where some of those light rain showers are moving eastward. So far this morning, we've had a very dry air mass in place. We've had several waves of precipitation that have tried to move into our viewing area, but have fizzled out because they're evaporating as they move into this drier air mass. So we're, you know, looking at the potential for a few light showers and sprinkles. Eventually, we'll see enough moisture coming through that it will moisten the column of the atmosphere, and some of that rain will start to reach the ground. But we're seeing a few showers, at least on the radar, showing up around Roxborough and down toward Durham, along and north of I-85. We head back down toward Durham and southward, west of Pittsburgh, west of Sanford, a few light showers showing up on the radar, and then we'll head down to the south. Little sprinkles move through Southern Pines. We have a report of a little bit of sprinkle activity, a little bit of drizzle in Cary. So we're seeing some of this beginning to reach the ground. It's a 30% chance as we get through the afternoon and into the evening. We're looking at, of course, a lot of that rain dissipating and moving on out of here. It is 60 degrees there in Chapel Hill, looking at temperatures being on the mild side right now. We're going to check futurecast coming up in just a few minutes, but it does look like most of this rain will taper off by the time we get to the evening commute.
All right, thanks, Elizabeth. We're also waiting on a big decision from our nation's central bank that will likely affect your family's finances. The Federal Reserve is discussing if another rate hike is needed to fight inflation. The recent collapse of two regional banks can also factor into the Fed's decision. WRL's Ken Smith is here with one local economist's take on what the Fed could do later today, Ken.
You know, Jeff, I can't stress enough how big this decision is, especially when you consider the uncertainty in the banking sector. Inflation is still going up, even though it's down slightly from this time last year. Many financial observers believe the Federal Reserve is between, and forgive this reference, a rock and a hard place, really. The central bank was not expecting two banks to collapse just 2 weeks before today's scheduled meeting. But the fact is, the Fed is charged with bringing down inflation. Now, with that in mind, NC State economist Mike Walden and others believe the Fed will raise interest rates by at least a quarter point. That said, Walden also believes the Fed is looking at the end game, the result of these ongoing interest rate increases.
Hopefully, fingers crossed, where we could be maybe at the end of this year or next year is hopefully not a recession, but a situation where people aren't quite spending as much as they were. Businesses maybe aren't expanding, but we're not seeing big job cuts, and we're seeing the supply chain continue to improve. And the combination of all that would bring us lower inflation without a recession.
And yeah, that's the key, right? Walden says whatever the Federal Reserve does, it's important that you have a financial plan for your household budget. A decision by the Federal Reserve is expected sometime this afternoon, likely around 2 p.m. Jeff?
Ken Smith, live in Studio 4. Thanks for that update. And Ken, as you know and can imagine, U.S. stocks are wavering ahead of that Fed rate decision right now. The Dow Jones Industrial Average down 37 points this noon. But a couple of things in positive territory right now. S&P 500 clinging to positive territory, just a point in the positive. And the NASDAQ is up 18 points this noon.
New at noon, we're following travel troubles for Greyhound bus passengers stranded in Raleigh. Some people have waited for more than 12 hours with very little information about when they'll make it to their final destinations. WRL's Joe Fisher is live at the bus station on Capitol Boulevard as the complaints pile up. Joe, what have you been hearing?
Renee, these hours-long delays have some Greyhound passengers in tears this morning, waiting on their bus after 11, 12, even 15 hours. Here at the station on Capitol Boulevard in Raleigh, we just talked with some customers who have been hanging out outside and inside the station here, telling me that they've been waiting more than 6 hours for their bus to New York. They've been told that there is no driver for that bus. We are working to get some information from Greyhound today. I did reach out to a spokesperson who tells me they are working on getting us some answers. One woman traveling back to California says she waited more than 6 hours. The staff told her they didn't have a driver. And then there is the story of a woman from Fayetteville. She was coming back from Florida to Fayetteville. Tanya Green says the bus drove right past Fayetteville and took her to this station in Raleigh, where she waited for more than 15 hours overnight.
This is my first time I took Greyhound, and I will never take them again. Ever will I take them again.
And in 2021, Flixbus acquired Greyhound. And just last month, we have learned from Flixbus that the two companies combine the technology that they use for customers to purchase their tickets. It's still unclear if that change between Flixbus and Greyhound has anything to do with these recent problems. But I'll tell you, you take one look on social media and you will see complaints just in the past 3 or 4 days here, with complaints about long wait times, not only here in Raleigh, but in cities like Boston, Chicago, Philadelphia, even up to the Ohio area. Again, we're working to get some information from Greyhound. Just as soon as we get that, we will post it for you on WREL.com. Certainly very frustrating out here for so many passengers. Renee.
And we can see and hear that frustration. And Joe, we hope they get on their way soon. Joe Fisher, keep us posted live from Capitol Boulevard in Raleigh. happening right now in the WREL Live Center. A Fort Bragg soldier was arrested. This is Andrew Gomez. He was arrested for secret peeping. He was arrested for 6 counts of violations when he recorded himself having sexual intercourse with women without their knowledge, then posting the videos to the website OnlyFans.com. He is in the Cumberland County Detention Center on a $10,000 secured bond. His first court appearance is happening today. WREL's Gilbert Bays is following the story. He'll have more on our later newscasts.
An early morning fire in Chatham County destroyed a home. This was the scene when the WREL breaking news tracker got to Henderson Tanyard Road. This is in Pittsburgh. Officials at the scene say everyone made it out safely. The cause of the fire is under investigation. Also, a portion of I-95 South near Wilson reopened early this morning after a tractor trailer carrying bread caught on fire overnight. WREL breaking news tracker was there at the scene as cleanup got underway. This happened in the southbound lane right before NC 42. State troopers say the driver noticed his tractor tire had caught on fire. He pulled over and got out of the cab. The fire quickly spread, burning much of the trailer, which was carrying the bread. The driver was not injured.
We'll find out today why Roanoke Rapids put its police chief and captain on administrative leave. WREL was there as city council went into a closed-door session last night to discuss the change. Earlier this month, Chief B.L. Martin and Captain Jamie Hardy were placed on leave. So far, city leaders have not said why. The city manager is scheduled to release a statement today at 4. The city attorney says there will be no lapse in police services.
Our acting chief is Gorton Williams. He's right over there. The community is, the PD is still patrolling the streets and still making arrests and still, detectives are still investigating cases.
Chief Martin and Captain Hardy have declined to say why they are on leave.
Next at noon, dozens of boats destroyed by fire in Seattle. The response, both on land and on water, to put that fire out and the person arrested in connection with the incident.
Also, more rain and flooding in California knocks out power to more than 100,000 customers, the major problem that injured several people.
Plus, reopening an investigation in South Carolina, how law enforcement now considers a teen's 2015 death homicide.
Download the new WREL streaming apps on Roku, Fire TV, Apple TV, and Android TV.
Ukrainian President Volodymyr Zelensky paid a surprise visit to troops on the front lines in the Donetsk region, and Zelensky also handed out awards. Standing in a large warehouse at an undisclosed location, Zelensky told soldiers he was honored to be there with them to thank them for protecting the state of sovereignty of East Ukraine and to shake their hands.
And happening right now in the WREL Live Center, former UK Prime Minister Boris Johnson, he began testifying today at a crucial hearing on whether he misled Parliament about lockdown parties during COVID. Now, he denies that he lied. He said it never occurred to him that the gatherings broke restrictions that were placed on those social gatherings during COVID. And he said they have nothing to show that he was warned in advance and that what he was doing was illegal. He said, I bitterly regret it, but hand on heart, I did not lie to the House. The hearing is expected to last several hours. Now, if Johnson is found to be lying, it could be really bad news. He could face suspension or even lose his seat in Parliament. Michelle, thanks. One person has been arrested in connection with an intense fire at a boat storage facility in Seattle. More than 40 boats were destroyed. The boat storage facility and two other buildings were damaged. Around 80 firefighters on land and on water responded to the scene, along with crews from the Coast Guard and police. No injuries reported, amazingly. The exact cause of the fire, not yet known. The community of Uvalde, Texas, got an update on the progress of its new elementary school. The new school will also be nearly twice as big as Robb Elementary. Security was top of mind in this new school design, with fencing around the play fields, keyless entry points, and 9-foot-tall privacy gates. The campus is expected to be finished by 2024. There are also plans to memorialize the 21 Robb shooting victims in this new design. Right now, Robb Elementary students attend two other Uvalde elementary schools.
Ford Motors unveiled its first all-new electric vehicle exclusively for the European market. It's an EV crossover, part of Ford's plans to transition its European lineup to be entirely electric by 2030. The naming is part of the company's strategy to leverage its most iconic brands for EVs, including the Mustang Mach-E crossover and the F-150 Lightning. Ford has no plans to offer the midsize electric crossover in the U.S.
Heavy rain and hurricane-force winds walloped California, leaving more than 160,000 customers without power. This is at least the 12th atmospheric river to hit the state recently. Utility company Pacific Gas and Electric says the storm system exceeded all expectations. In San Francisco, at least five people were injured, four critically, from falling trees across the city. And more rain is expected today. The U.S. News and World Report put together the best places to visit in the spring, and Asheville made the top three best spring vacation spots. The report says there is something for every type of traveler there: hiking, stunning estates, local breweries, and comfortable weather. With plenty to do, the blooming azaleas are just icing on the cake.
That was our last spring. It's a good time. It's a great time of year. They also have golf courses there,
yes, by the way.
And
now we really are in spring, and we have mild temperatures out there. Meteorologist Elizabeth Gardner in the WRO Severe Weather Center with those spring showers as well.
But the most important thing they have in Asheville is whitewater rivers. Just saying. Okay, now we do have rain. And that's what those rivers need. I mean, that's why it's so great in the spring. Whitewater in the spring, got all that rain. And we've seen some showers in Asheville this morning, and all that rain is sliding to the east right now. Some light, patchy rain across parts of the viewing area. As a matter of fact, I was just looking at Chapel Hill. There are a couple of people walking down the street with umbrellas. I'm going to show you that in just a few minutes. Meteorologist Amy Wilmoth just happened to be outside a second ago, and she said, yeah, I came in with my umbrella. So the rain that we are seeing out there does appear to be reaching the ground. A few light showers up around Roxborough, everywhere from Durham northward along and north of the I-85 corridor. We're seeing some light patchy rain there. We head down to the south, Pittsboro and Sanford, the western part of Chatham County. Things are pretty dry south of that, though, from, say, Smithfield to Anger to Dunn to Goldsboro, Wilson, Rocky Mount. It's pretty dry right now. But this next wave of rain that's heading eastward is going to take over and fill in most places. Now, the farther north and east you go, the less chance you'll likely see some showers. Watch what happens here on Futurecast. We'll move that forward, and you can see the rain is pretty steady up until around 3 o'clock or so, and then it begins to slide southward. So the wettest part of the viewing area during the evening commute is going to be from Southern Pines to Fayetteville to Clinton to Goldsboro. The rain will be starting to ease up a little bit during the evening commute around the triangle, but it still could be damp enough, and there could be enough drizzle that it could cause some delays for us this afternoon. Once we get to 7 or 8 o'clock, it dissipates. We will be cloudy overnight tonight. There may be a little bit of patchy fog if we see some clearing by first thing in the morning. Here's Chapel Hill. Okay, now I have to eat my words. None of the people walking across the street there are holding their umbrellas, but they were a few minutes ago. So a little bit of drizzle, a little bit of light rain. I guess the point is it's not raining very heavily, but you will potentially want your umbrella depending on where you are. It's 60 degrees right now. We're going to climb up to around 63 this afternoon. Just kind of hold it there in the low 60s this afternoon. It's 58 in Fayetteville, 59 in Rocky Mountain, 54 in Goldsboro. Our pattern change is coming, though. 65 is our normal high. So we're going to be close to that, maybe just a few degrees under it today. And then we see a huge jump to 80 on Thursday and then 86 degrees on Friday. That 86 on Friday is only 2 degrees from the previous record of 88 back in 1929. And then in Fayetteville, we could tie that record, 87. That was set back in 1939. So we have warm air coming on a southerly flow. That southerly flow really kicks in tomorrow, and the warm air sticks around. You can see the yellows and oranges. That's where temperatures are above normal. Temperatures are below normal back here in the blues and the purples. So the cold air all stays back to the west. Notice the overnight lows. The coldest one is next Wednesday morning at 49. Tomorrow morning, 50. Other than that, it's even warmer. So we don't have to worry about freezing temperatures in the morning in the next 7 days. Our next chance of rain after today will be Saturday. Most of that looks like the second half of the day, but we're going to walk through that with Futurecast coming up in just a few minutes so you can plan your weekend.
Elizabeth, thanks. A Johnston County mother says a teacher taped her child's mouth shut, and she says this isn't the first time. What the school system says about the accusation, ahead at 4.
And then at 5:30, the plan to put wind turbines on the North Carolina coast. Officials now say you'll likely see them from the shore. How they've responded to questions and concerns from people who live at the coast. Remembering Lance Reddick, fans are hearing from the star about his latest role in the John Wick series before his death.
Plus, many people dread the annual trip to the dentist, but there is a lot you can do at home to make that visit easier to endure. Welcome back. You're looking live at the Museum of Natural Sciences in Raleigh. Cloudy skies, and that will keep our temperatures cool. Our highs will be in the low 60s. And we'll also have rain on and off throughout the day. Available on YouTube TV, WRL News, and the WRL app on your TV or streaming device. Actor Lance Reddick from the TV series Fringe, the video game Destiny, and the John Wick movies died on the 17th of this month.
Now, John Wick Chapter 4 debuts in theaters on Friday. Rick Damigella interviewed Reddick earlier this month about his latest role.
I have you for 2 nights?
Depending on business, it may be more.
Of course, sir.
Lance Reddick appears in all 4 John Wick films as the concierge of New York's The Continental Hotel.
How good's your laundry?
No one's that good.
Reddick passed away on March 17th. Just 2 weeks prior, I sat down with him and Ian McShane to talk about John Wick Chapter 4.
What's so exquisite for me is that the world that was created in the first one, that you only get a glimpse of because you just see the Continental, keeps getting expanded and you see more and more of it. Why it is the way that it is and what the rules are. And so it's the fact that it keeps getting bigger without losing the quality is what's so amazing to me.
How good to see you again so soon, Mr. Wick.
I was curious to know if the actors find it easy to get back into character for each film. Reddick's response was bookended by some good-natured humor from McShane.
For me, no, I have trouble. I have to find it again. Fortunately,
it's much more difficult as an actor to work with than I am. That's all I say.
I mean, Keanu won't talk to me, so, because I'm so difficult.
It's very difficult.
Mr. Wick is on his way to see you, sir.
In Hollywood, I'm Rick Damigella.
Prior to his recurring role in the John Wick franchise, Reddick was best known for playing Cedric Daniels in The Wire from 2002 to 2008. His earlier credits include shows like Oz, New York Undercover, and The West Wing. Reddick is survived by his wife and 2 children.
Chicago's popular music festival has some of the biggest names in music this year headlining. More than 170 performers are taking part in this year's Lollapalooza. Kendrick Lamar, Billie Eilish, and the Red Hot Chili Peppers will take the stage, just to name a few. And for the first time ever, a K-pop act will headline. The 4-day music festival takes place in Grant Park from August 3rd through the 6th. Halle Bailey says she found her voice on the set of the live-action remake of The Little Mermaid. Bailey says her co-star, Melissa McCarthy, helped her overcome struggling to advocate for herself while working. McCarthy is starring as the villainous Ursula in the movie and encouraged Bailey to speak up for herself. You can catch those two in the premiere of The Little Mermaid on May 26th.
I want those monsters, those animals, that treated him so wrong and squeezed the life out of him. I want them brought to justice.
We will hear more about the surveillance video that could be pivotal in the death investigation of Irvo Otieno.
Plus, just because it's on the internet doesn't mean it's true. Later, why some educators see students need to learn how to spot misinformation online. First, here's a look at your winning lottery numbers.
Shot in 4K ultra high definition, your number one source for local news. WRAL News, coverage you can count on.
In Virginia, 7 sheriff's deputies and 3 hospital workers are all facing second-degree murder charges in connection with a deadly encounter inside a mental health facility. Newly released surveillance video appears to show people piling on top of Ivo Otieno until he is no longer moving. Katie Beck spoke with Otieno's heartbroken mother.
From start to finish, they failed.
I failed Ivo Otieno.
Fighting back tears, the mother of Ivo Otieno telling us she believes a group of sheriff's deputies and hospital workers murdered her son. She says the 28-year-old had a history of mental health issues and just needed help.
When they took him into the hospital, I expected him to be taken care of and to come back home to us.
The final moments of his life captured on surveillance video March 6th, when he was transferred from Henrico County Jail to Central State Hospital in Dinwiddie, Virginia. In the video, which is silent, you see a shackled and handcuffed Otieno led into an admission room. Minutes later, deputies and staff pile on top of him, with 11 minutes going by before he appears unresponsive. Staff at the hospital and later emergency responders are seen attempting to revive Otieno.
You're responding for a 28-year-old male that is not breathing. CPR is in progress.
Otieno dying about 90 minutes after arriving at the hospital. Prosecutors have said state police investigators were told Otieno had become combative during admission. Following the release of the surveillance video, a defense attorney for one of the charged hospital workers asked a judge to impose a gag order to prevent any further evidence from being released, arguing it could taint a potential jury pool.
In this day and age, there's no way to unring those bells.
Otieno's mother says she feels some relief that the video is public, arguing transparency is needed for justice.
What's next for you in this journey?
I want justice for my son. I want those monsters, those animals that treated him so wrong and squeezed the life out of him. I want them brought to justice.
A mother's pain. That was Katie Beck reporting. Now to South Carolina, where another mother is also seeking answers in her son's death. Authorities are now investigating the case of Stephen Smith as a homicide. Smith was a former classmate of Buster Murdoch, the surviving son of recently convicted killer Alec Murdoch. The change comes 8 years after his mysterious death. Lawyers for the family say investigators have agreed to work with them and participate in exhuming Stephen's body for a private autopsy to gather more evidence. It's all validation for the victim's mother.
My heart, this was not a hit and run. I think he was murdered, and I just need to prove.
A Netflix documentary raising the possibility of a relationship between Smith and Buster Murdoch. In a statement to NBC News this week, Buster called the rumors baseless and denied any involvement with Stephen's death. No one in the Murdoch family has been implicated in Smith's killing.
An effort to legalize sports betting could face its longest odds yet today. Two House committees are set to vote on a bill after a third gave it the green light yesterday. Our NC Capitol team says one of those committees, the Judiciary Committee, could have a shot at derailing this bill. A similar measure failed last year by a single vote in the House. Governor Roy Cooper supports the bill and even included $85 million from sports betting tax revenue in his budget plan. A plan to bring a federally funded health insurance idea to hundreds of thousands of North Carolinians is reaching final approval now. Lawmakers in the State House will debate the Medicaid expansion bill today. It passed through the Senate last week. The issue of Medicaid has been debated for a decade. If it makes it through the House, it'll head to the governor's desk to become law. Medicaid expansion would not officially happen, however, until the new state budget is approved.
Pay increases and additional bonuses are coming for hundreds of educators and bus drivers in Wake County. The Board of Education unanimously approved the measure last night. Employees with advanced degrees will get a pay raise for the first time since 2013. Bus drivers will receive an additional $200 a month for perfect attendance. The approval comes as families and students across the district feel the impact of staffing shortages. The pay increases and new bonuses are set to take effect in July. A push to limit how racial issues are tackled in the classroom could take a big step forward today. The State House is expected to vote on a bill restricting lessons on systemic racism and white privilege. It instead lays out topics teachers can address, but in the bill's words, cannot promote. It does not mention critical race theory.
A small town in Moore County is rallying to save this beloved old house from destruction. This house was built in the late 1800s in Cameron. It housed the treasured Miss Bell's Tea Room for decades. It was owned by Isabel McKeith and Thomas. Miss Bell's Tea Room was featured in a WRL Tar Heel Traveler segment. The house is now at risk of being demolished unless the community can raise $175,000 to move the historic house to a safer location so it can be restored. We have a link to this story with information about how you can help by heading to WRL.com and search Hidden History.
New research shows certain types of birth control methods may slightly increase the risk of breast cancer. Why doctors say it should not cause alarm.
And seeing should not be believing when it comes to what you find on the internet. The effort to teach students how to better distinguish fact from fiction. Our county-by-county coverage this noon takes us to Orange and Edgecombe counties. Now, the Chapel Hill Town Council is meeting tonight to consider plans for a new life sciences center. These are some early sketches of what the building could look like. The new building would be on West Franklin Street, right across from the Chipotle there. It would be 9 stories tall. It would also feature retail space along West Franklin Street and parking along West Rosemary Street. Tonight's council meeting starts at 7. Edgecombe County is preparing for the annual Spring Fest Street Fair. The event features free kids' activities, music, vendors, much more. It takes place from 10 a.m. till 3 p.m. on Saturday, April 1st in downtown Tarboro.
Happening right now in the WREL Live Center, 2 additional deaths are now linked to recalled artificial tears. The CDC says these were distributed by Urzicare and Delsum Pharma last month. This is what they look like. A rare strain of bacteria found in the drops has been linked to dozens of infections, as well as cases of vision loss, even surgical removal of eyes. As of yesterday, the CDC says 68 people in 16 states have infections. So these 2 additional deaths now account for a total of 3 deaths that have been linked to the bacterial infection. The company is urging everyone to throw them away and not use them. You can get free house screenings today at a mobile event in Raleigh. Blue Cross Blue Shield of North Carolina is holding a mobile clinic at Wake Tech's North Campus until 4 today. You can get blood pressure screenings and free COVID-19 vaccines and boosters. Free boxes of food for people experiencing hunger will also be on hand. HIV and STD testing are also available until 2 this afternoon. Progestogen-only contraceptives like the mini pill and IUDs carry a similar low increased risk for breast cancer as other hormonal contraceptives. They found that progestogen-only contraceptives, which do not have estrogen, are associated with a 20 to 30% relative risk for breast cancer. That aligns with previous research on combined hormone contraceptives. The average woman has a 1 in 8 chance of developing breast cancer at some point in her life. So the study suggested that hormonal birth control slightly ups those odds.
Toothpaste and flosses and brushes, so many choices when it comes to caring for your teeth and gums. Choosing the right product can be a bit confusing. Some ponder whether manual or electric toothbrushes are better. Soft or hard bristles, string tape or water flossing. Don't forget about the rows and rows of toothpastes, but there is one thing that's clear.
No matter what kind of toothbrush you use, opt for one with soft bristles because hard bristles are more likely to damage your gums and enamel.
And when it comes to toothpaste, be sure it contains fluoride. If you want a whitening toothpaste, the ADA seal of acceptance is a good sign that it won't damage your enamel. Finally, in the debate over a water flosser or string, string is best at scraping bacteria from your teeth. But using a water flosser is still much better than not flossing at all.
Everyone's susceptible to misinformation. It doesn't matter which political affiliation you are, it doesn't matter what your age is.
After the break, a look at how one effort is teaching kids how to use social media responsibly.
Plus, when you get a call from an unknown number, what do? Send it to voicemail, answer it immediately. Why some security experts say answering that call could cost you big bucks.
happening right now in the WREL Live Center. We're following some breaking news out of Denver, Colorado. Police are on scene of a shooting at East High School. We have the live video here for you. This is live of the high school. This is East High School in Denver, Colorado. At this time, they say two adult victims have been located and transported to area hospitals. It's believed that the suspect is no longer on the scene. Investigators are working to come up with more information. They say the PIOs are on their way to the scene. They're going to give the media an update, but you can see a large police presence. Again, two adult victims transported to the hospital after a shooting at East High School in Denver, Colorado.
The FTC is warning people about scammers using phone calls to scan their voice. The agency says criminals only need 3 seconds to use voice cloning tools and then use it to deceive family and friends. The FTC recommends verifying the story with the person believed to be on the other line with a trusted phone number and not just trusting the voice. If you get a call from an unknown number, let the other person speak first.
To combat the spread of misinformation online, some politicians are calling for social media sites to do a better job at regulating false posts. But a growing number of educators say it's still critical to teach kids how to identify misinformation. Jackie Ibanez takes a closer look at how efforts to teach digital literacy are being accomplished.
With just a few clicks or even a brief scroll, access to piles of information are quickly at our fingertips, thanks to the internet. But as helpful as the digital world is at spreading knowledge, it can be just as harmful because of how easily misinformation can spread online.
Everyone's susceptible to misinformation. It doesn't matter which political affiliation you are, doesn't matter what your age is.
To help prevent people from believing false claims, a growing number of educators across the country are calling for students to better learn how to identify when they're being lied to.
Like, I remember back in the day when we would call young people the digital natives, right? That we didn't need to teach them because they could figure it out because they were somehow born into this space, and so they'd be able to figure it out. Well, that didn't really pan out.
Misinfo Day at the University of Washington is helping to do just that, offering high school students exercises in how to responsibly consume media, how to fact-check information with credible sources, and why it's important to hear both sides of an argument.
I think it's really good for these types of conventions to happen so that kids can learn not only how to prevent the spread of misinformation, but also how to teach older family members that may have a harder time as well.
And that was Jackie Ibanez reporting. Several states, including Illinois, New Jersey, and Texas, have recently enacted new guidelines for teaching students how to accurately search for facts online. Just because they grew up with it doesn't necessarily mean they know how to navigate it. So important to teach
something
them
in this day and age. Yes. Absolutely right. It's a great day outside. Elizabeth Gardner's over at the WRO Severe Weather Center with a look at the radar right now. It looks worse on radar than it is, huh?
A lot of this rain is still back here across parts of Tennessee or the western part of the state. Definitely looking a little bit heavier as we take a look at this particular wide view. But we'll zoom in on dual Doppler 5000, and we are starting to see some more shaded areas showing up on the radar, especially in our far western counties. So we're definitely seeing some sprinkles, some light rain in the far west, and we'll see that continuing to spread eastward. By say 3 o'clock or so, we should have more rain across the triangle, and then it looks like a lot of this will begin to sink to the south. Let's start up here though, and I'll show you where we're seeing showers across almost all of Mecklenburg County, Virginia, across a good bit of the counties that are bordering Virginia, Roxboro, Oxford, Henderson, all the way over to Roanoke Rapids, seeing some showers. And then we head down to the south, beginning to see some of that rain approaching Chapel Hill, definitely across parts of Chatham County, and we'll head to the south even farther, a little bit of that rain sliding into Lee County and parts of Moore County. Eventually, we're going to see that rain in Fayetteville, Dunn, Goldsboro, Smithfield, Clinton, but we haven't seen it arriving there just yet. Futurecast shows the arrival of rain as we get through the day. Again, by 3 o'clock, we're really seeing it starting to spread farther to the east, say around Rocky Mount and Goldsboro, and then after 3 o'clock, a lot of it slips southward. So it looks like it'll be a fairly wet evening commute for Southern Pines, Fayetteville, Clinton, and Goldsboro, and maybe around the Triangle area as well, at least in terms of some isolated showers. showers, but the heavier rain looks like it'll be down to the south. And I say heavier, we're not looking at anything that's going to be overly heavy, but just looks a little steadier down to the south. Here comes our next system. We're going to be watching this on Friday. This cold front's going to dip into North Carolina, bringing some clouds to the northern half of the viewing area. Below that warm front, we're going to see a strong flow, bringing some very warm temperatures. We talked about that earlier, how we'll likely climb into the mid-80s across our area, but it may be slightly cooler, say up around Roanoke Rapids and into Virginia because of that front. On Saturday by lunchtime, we're starting to see some showers, possibly a few isolated thunderstorms, especially south and east of the triangle. Most of that's over by 5 or 6 o'clock, so it looks like it's going to be really an afternoon event for us on Saturday. If you do have outdoor plans, keep checking back because we'll have a lot more runs of the computer models between now and Saturday, and we may start to see some trends of that slowing down or speeding up, and that'll help you plan. This is a new run of our models in terms of showing how much rain we could see, and it's upped a little bit, which makes sense looking at a quarter to a half an inch of rain for today and Saturday combined. It's a 30% chance today and a 60% chance on Saturday. Our pollen forecasts have started to go back up again. As we continue to see consistently warmer temperatures, those pollen counts will go up, and the only real thing that'll save us is a chance for rain. Today's rain will be light. Saturday, on the light to moderate side, but it may be a little heavier for us on Monday and Tuesday. We have some nice mild temperatures in our forecast. Our normal high is 65, and we're mostly above that after today.
Thanks, Elizabeth. Today's national observance may persuade you to sit back and relax just a little bit. Coming up, we'll tell you why you should take some time to focus on you.
And here's a look at last night's Mega Millions drawing. Good luck.
And a live look right now, Southern Pines. That is Longleaf Golf and Family Club right there. Gray skies down in the Sand Hills as well. A couple of raindrops falling. You can see them on the camera there. We'll wrap things up with a look at a few of the headlines we're following for you today. Three 16-year-olds were shot in Durham and two of them died. We have learned from the family of one of the teens killed, Angel Canales. Now, authorities say the shooting happened last night, and so far police have not said who the other two people are who were shot. No arrests have been made.
We'll find out today why Roanoke Rapids put its police chief and captain on administrative leave. Earlier this month, Chief B.L. Martin and Captain Jamie Hardy were placed on leave, and so far, city leaders have not said why. The city manager is scheduled to release a statement today at 4 p.m.
An effort to legalize sports betting could face its biggest challenge yet today. Two House committees are set to vote on the bill after a third gave it the green light yesterday. Our NC Capitol team says one of those committees, the Judiciary Committee, could have a shot at derailing the bill. A similar measure failed last year by a single vote in the House.
Get ready to relax and have a little more fun today because it is National Goof Off Day. Organizers say it's the perfect time to catch up on your sleep or watch a good movie. Strictly speaking, goofing off is the avoidance of work. So that means whatever you do, try not to look like you are working. Find your inner couch potato. The observance started in Michigan in 1976. In the U.S., National Goof Off Day coincides with International Goof Off Day, so it is a worldwide celebration. Jeff, we can celebrate in 5 minutes.
Yeah, I'm ready now. And curl up with a cat friend as well. If you're looking for a feline friend, Cat Angels Pet Adoptions has the perfect candidate. Baby is a sweet and affectionate girl, loves people and snuggling. With her beautiful green eyes there, she's the perfect companion for anyone looking for a lucky charm to brighten up their home. Baby gets along great with other cats, but also wouldn't mind being the only cat in your life. If you're interested in Baby, you can put in an application on the Cat Angels website.
Today at 4, WRL investigates a dangerous intersection near Zebulon. We'll hear from one family who was hit by tragedy twice in the same spot.
NBC News Daily is headed your way next on WRL. That's your next local news update coming your way in 30 minutes.
You can get breaking news updates anytime with our WRL News app, and you have our permission to goof off on this National Goof Off Day. Be sure to have the umbrella in case that rain comes through. We'll be monitoring that for you. We'll see you at 4.
Keep watching WRAL News over the air channel 34 and Spectrum channel 1257.